I do want to share that on Sunday, the 22nd of September, we are going to do a bike-a-thon, maybe a walk-a-thon too a little bit here. And it's to help out with Wings of the Morning, a program that is similar to MAF, and we've had the Chad Irwin family
come in
and speak on that.
Yes, sir.
I coached Chad back in Pony League, so I had to think about that for a second, many years ago. But the adult Sunday school class next Sunday, we'll be talking about that, and I'll be drafting helpers for that. But we'd love everyone to be involved, and we'll get a timeout and everything for Sunday the 22nd. So I wanted to bring that up just to give you a heads up at this time. Are there any other parish notices to come forward?
I've got to explain that we really didn't presume that we were going to be able to get this young man, but we were able to nail it down just remarkably. Brother Warren, I did some praying on this, you know. I said, now, Lord, you know, if it doesn't happen, nevertheless, we will celebrate our life in Christ, and because next Sunday is Rally Days. So we were nevertheless going to celebrate that great hour. However, we were able to get this young man. He's a Christian comedian. His name, and I'm going to look to Laura because I'm trying. I didn't look at my bulletin yet to see the name of the young man. Is the name of the young Daniel Matthews? And when I was speaking with him, I said, what is your last name? Because I knew it was Dan. I met him and was immediately struck by his Christian spirit. This is going to be a great Christian witness as well, make no mistake. He's been on Channel 44 many times. But he said, well, I go by my stage name. Say it again, Laura.
Daniel Matthew.
I said, well, thank you. And then I saw the email, his actual last name. Don, I can't pronounce it. I don't know whether it's Russian. But if you've seen Ray Romano on television, I tell my friends, I said he's almost a doppelganger of Ray Romano. I mean, he could be his twin. But wonderful Christian spirit. He's open for Paul Rodriguez as an example of some of the work that he's done. Played at many venues. So we're going to do this for the Rally Days. I think especially our young families are going to enjoy this. But Channel 44, those of you that watch Channel 44 and get that station, and you'll recognize that. So he's going to be here for Rally Days, and that will be in the sanctuary. Crossroads will do a few numbers, but we really want to make a space and time for Daniel Matthew. Thank you, Dave.
Super. So again, let's continue to spread the word and make sure that we have great attendance next Sunday. Any other parish notices to come forth? Let us then prepare our hearts for morning worship. Let us pray. Mighty God, you are always dressed for action. Quick to forgive and ready to respond, you grace us with your care and compassion in so many ways. Strengthen us to be a people dressed for action and ready to respond. As we light candles for worship, light your passion within us, that we may be always aware of your world and its needs, of your presence in our lives, of your calling in this world. Cleanse us with your love, that we might hear your word and respond to your call. Amen. God is our strength. Christ is our joy. Sing of love and grace. Sing of God's goodness. Let us join together in the opening hymn for the beauty of the earth.
Thank you.
Let's take this opportunity to greet your neighbor in the passing of the peace.
Bonus moments. Good morning, children. Well, it's real special to have you here, and I know there are a lot of activities going on for Labor Day weekend. The fair's going on. I was thanking Brother Warren Reed and Ted. I saw Ted and Patty, and I want to thank all of you that got a chance to come out there that night to kind of support Crossroads. Oh my goodness, was it hot. Dick, what was the humidity? I don't know what the percent was, but I know what the dew point was because it was melting all over my forehead. You could see your dew point. But at any rate, it just was a wonderful support. Thank you so much. Now, children, this is a great, great hour that we have to worship the Lord. And I've got an object lesson here for you. I've got, what is that right there? Anybody want to tell it? Anybody want to yell it out? What is that, Allison? What is that?
A flower.
It is a flower. Of course, you know, Greg, it is a solar-powered flower. But it's got these little bugs around it. And I want to ask you what these bugs are. Can anybody identify the little bugs? Can you identify them?
Ladybugs.
They are, in fact, ladybugs. I've tried to collect ladybugs. We've got some other gardeners here. Anne's not here today, Nikki. She's one of the premier gardeners. Does she have ladybugs? I'm just curious. Does she get ladybugs, Nikki, to bring in? We'll tell her to save a couple from me. But they are helpful to the flowers. Now there's another bug that's helpful to the flowers. Can you guess what that is?
A bumblebee.
Said it well. A bumblebee, indeed, indeed. And that's what I want to ask you. Speaking of the bees. Have any of you ever been stung? You have? You have? Tell me what did that, do you want to tell me what it felt like? What did it feel like?
Felt like a needle.
Felt like a needle? Yeah. Did any of you get, did you get sick afterwards or were you okay? Well, good. Say that again, sweetie.
I just brought the bee in the house.
You brought the bee into the house? Did you make it your pet? Or was it an accident that it got in the house? Well, you know, because bees can do good. We're going to talk about that a little bit in the message. Certainly they can help the flowers. But yes, let's just for fun, show of hands. Children of all ages, how many of you have ever been stung? Ouch. You betcha that hurts. I remember the worst I went through what were they called? What was it down on the High River? What were they? Yellow Jackets. The little tiny one. Now, nomenclature changes in region after region. The colloquialism, the vernacular for us, was a yellow jacket. It was a tiny little... The thing is, this is the bee that stings and stings and stings. You've been there? Have you had that one? I was mowing and I bumped into an old rotting log, is what it was, Gail, and I wasn't aware, and I had had a Walkman. Kids don't even know what a Walkman is. They probably don't know what an MP3 player is anymore. But back in the day of the old Walkman, you know, had it harnessed over my shoulder. I'm just kidding. It wasn't that big. But I hit that log and I was enjoying my music. Suddenly I was dancing. I was running to the house. I was hurting children. That hurt so bad. And it stung again and again and again and again. The Bible does share about a threat to us, death. And death stung again and again and again and again and again throughout the generations of humankind until Jesus Christ came back to his creation. God came back into his creation, and our Lord, our loving Lord, took the sting of death upon himself. He conquered death, children. You see that cross? You see the communion elements on the altar today? This, you know what this represents, children? This is the communion. You see this, and I want to thank Steve Shelley and our communion stewards. Here is the loaf that represents the body of Jesus. Here is the cup. See the cup? That represents the blood of the Savior. Jesus allowed himself to suffer and die on the cross so that he could take away from us forever the threat of death. O death, where is thy sting? Grave. Where now is your victory? Jesus took that on and conquered it so that we don't have to be afraid anymore. And I know that we cry. You know, I know it hurts when someone that you love, that we love, when they die, I know we cry because it hurts. Jesus wept when his friend Lazarus died. But he tells us we don't have to be afraid anymore of death because ultimately death can't hurt you anymore. Not anymore, because Christ has conquered death. Isn't that good news? No more fear. Let's make a circle here. We're going to have our tradition here, children, as we make a circle. Now, I've got some treats for you, too, by the way. I've got something to give you here in a moment. A little gift for you. We'll hold hands. We'll hold hands in our circle. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the good news that you love us so much, that you came into the world through Jesus Christ, that you took on death itself, and you died for us. You conquered death. So that now we don't have to be afraid anymore. It can't hurt us anymore. You've taken the sting out of death. So we thank you for that love and that sacrifice. In Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Amen. Now I told you I got you something. I got you something. Hang on. Hang on. Don't leave yet. I've got you suckers. Everybody gets two. Here's how it's going to work, girls. Take two suckers. And one of them you're going to give away. And one of them you're going to keep. Now the one that you give away, tell that person, Jesus loves you, okay? When you hand it to them, say, Jesus loves you. But the other one you take home and you keep it. There you go, children. And Allison, can I get you to carry the microphone with him? All right. Children, you may return to your pews. It was wonderful to have you. And I'm going to get Allison to help us here now. For our visitors, we want to extend that welcome to you. Here you go, Allison. I'm going to give her the microphone. Why do I give her the microphone? Because we're going to have a period called Joys and Concerns. And before I continue with that, though, if you wish, there are visitors' cards that you can fill out, and if you want to put your phone number on there, I will get a call out to you. So that way we get you better acquainted with this wonderful church family. Now, again, the microphone. Allison has the mic because this we call the joys and concerns portion of the service. If you have a joy, for example, for the sake of our visitors, that could be a birthday announcement, a wedding anniversary. It could be a testimony, couldn't it, Dave, of how the Lord is giving you strength in your journey. You want to lift that joy up. Raise your hand, or if you have a concern, maybe someone you love is in need of prayer. Maybe they're sick. So just raise your hand. Joys or concerns, keep your hand up so Allison can see you. She'll give you that mic, and you can share, and that way we can all hear. Thank you, Donna.
Thanks. I want to go ahead and thank those folks that came out to the Village Ministry Center's Monday open house. We had over 150 people there.
Wow.
I was thrilled with the turnout, and so was the programming director, Kim Clayton. I will, in the next church newsletter, have some of our continuing programs, the Women at the Well, the Stitching Club, because I know there's folks that crochet and stuff. And it's in different programs that we're offering. So please keep an eye out for that, and thank you again for your support.
Thank you, Tawna. Thank you for serving as our representative and a worker for that. Thank you so much. Other joys or concerns? Yes, sir, we got one right up here.
Is it on?
Yes, sir.
Nancy and I just got back from Cleveland Clinic last week. I had a scope and a shock treatment, and it all went well. So I'm feeling better. Appreciate all the thoughts, the concerns, and the prayers. We really, really appreciate that.
Wonderful, Don. We praise God. Raise a cheer. We praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Wonderful report, Don Johnson.
The flowers on the piano is from the Dwight Smith family. They wanted to leave something here for the church. So that's the flowers from them.
That is just beautiful. Dwight had such a gift. There, we're talking about Ann. This is one of Dwight's strengths as an agriculturalist. I mean, he was like a professor of agriculture, right? Born, look at that. Isn't that beautiful? And of course, that represented the children in Dwight's family. Each yellow rose represents a brother and a sister. And I want to say, too, by the way, and I'll get in trouble if I try to call the names out, but Judy, again, on two occasions, back-to-back, 2 days in a row this week, that kitchen committee served, and many here have been recipients of the healing ministry that takes place when we break bread together in Christ following the committal service at the cemetery. Can't say enough, Judy, about you and Annie and your team, what wonderful work you've done, what wonderful healing you have enabled for those families in Christ. So thank you so much.
Greg?
Okay.
we're very happy to have our family home this weekend, including my whole family is home this weekend. And hopefully you'll enjoy the rest of the service with our little one here, too.
Indeed. There you go. There you go. Wonderful. Wonderful, Karen. Yeah, it's rich. It is so rich. Wonderful to see so many family members got to come home here today, too. This is great. Any other sharings before we turn to the Lord in silent prayer? How about an appreciation for Allison? Can we lift up an appreciation? Thank you, Allison. Well done, young lady. Well done. Let's turn to the Lord in silent prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, perfecter of our faith, may the words that we hear in Scripture bear fruit in our lives. Teach us the path of the cross, that we might be strengthened for the race of faith, and that we might run the race of faith with diligence and with courage. We ask this in the name of the one who invites us to share this most beloved prayer from our hearts. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. I would be remiss there again if I didn't thank Stephen Shelley, who again served for these funerals. And Fred Fegley, by the way, Danny Fred was the sound engineer. And then on both occasions, Linda Holden accompanied us. And thank you so much, Linda, for sharing that gift. You recognize a few of these hymns, don't you, Linda? Want to just lift it up then as we get ready to stand. This was another hymn that was selected by Dwight Smith's family for his funeral. So let's stand together for 361, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me. Turning now to the witness of Scripture, this morning we will be turning to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and I've selected verses 50 through 58. What I am saying, brothers and sisters, is this: flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, for I tell you a mystery. We will not all die, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable body must put on imperishability, and this mortal body must put on immortality. And when this perishable body puts on imperishability, and this mortal body puts on immortality, then the saying that is written will be fulfilled: death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, because you know that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. May God add the blessing of the Holy Spirit to the reading of God's holy word. That labor is not in vain. That trust is not in vain. I talked with Nikki before we began our worship service, because it's always tender when we hear the names of our loved ones so recently spoken after their passing. Tender, but also very precious, very sweeter than honey, to know that they are among the living of the kingdom of heaven. July the 5th, Troy Hammond. July the 25th, Father Jim Hammond. August 24th, Paul Moorhead. August 24th, Dwight Smith. But their labor has not been in vain. Their trust has not been betrayed. You know, the scripture that we often lean on, Linda, Jesus says, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Trust in God. Trust also in me. For in my Father's house are many rooms, and I'm going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. The four disciples just named are there, experiencing a beauty that we cannot begin to imagine. And the witness that all four gave us as disciples, I tell Laura, over and over, I said, you know, it's just amazing when you see the power of God's Spirit, the strength that it gives, Annie. None of these four exhibited on any occasion for me fear about death. No fear. No fear. We learned some additional little factoids, didn't we, Brother Warren? Your good friend, Dwight. The family had done some genealogy work. Washington County, is that what it is? Washington County was his birthplace. And one of the sisters had done some work related to Washington County. They had a William Smith. And as they continued the research into genealogy, and my little sister, Fritzie, she's the one on our side who's the genealogist. Not Greg. But Yvonne is very, very gifted in that. Plus, she's invested a bit, you know, to do that research. So it was with one of Dwight's sisters, and they discovered, and I really appreciated this. This was fun for me, Annie, because I was raised in the Methodist Church. Of course, Dad's family were all Irish Catholic. And Papa left the Catholic Church to go into the Anglican Church. And then it was just a sort of a natural evolution for him to finally come through the door of the Methodist Church. And that was what was fascinating, because there was a Reverend William Smith, who was a rector of the Church of England back in circa 1400 in England. And then there was another link to another William Smith that was could be related to their William Smith, as they did the research in Washington County. And that William Smith, lo and behold, was the brother of Captain John Smith. Jamestown, Virginia, yeah. That I never knew. Dwight ever share that with you? I never knew. Now, Susan and Alan both cautioned us, children, they cautioned us, that there's probability, Coach, that this is the way. Probability. Well, I'll tell you what I know. Absolute certainty. Dwight was of the family of God. Right? The family of God. And that, wow. What an inheritance as a child of the family of God. No more fear of death. I asked Laura, because I mean, now Dwight really struggled. And I know Brother Warren, I know your visits to him were rich, and he was really struggling. And I asked Laura about Dwight. I said, honey, I'm just asking. did you ever sense any fear in Dwight Smith? And she laughed. And again, not to be blasphemous, not to trivialize or to be trite, she laughed with a sense of awe. Dwight was never afraid. Never, never afraid. Why fear? His trust, his strength and his courage was in his trust in God. No question about it. That very day, Paul Moorhead had passed away. And did you see the obituary, by the way, that Donnie and the family wrote? Did you happen to catch that in the newspaper? There was a witness there. Did you see it? He went to be with his Lord. He went to be with his Lord. Now, found out about Paul, he was a beekeeper. How many of you had how many of you have had honey lately? Okay. I'm going to turn all the cards over, Don. Remember that old TV show? How many of you had honey this morning? I had to get up on, I'm not the tallest guy in the room, Dave. I had to get up on a stool. I knew where I had left the honey. I knew where it was, Gail. And it wasn't there. It wasn't there. So I had to take out cupboards because we're in the process of transitioning. And so I was sorting things and standing up on a chair. I'm not supposed to stand up on a chair. I was standing up on a chair, not the tallest guy. And finally, after about 20 minutes of a hectic search, the honey was right where I left it. It was hidden between the little partition. Fritzy, how could it? Get me some glasses. Okay, Mom, I need glasses. But there was the honey. I love honey. I have Wheaties, and I'm not going to put down the Wheaties company, but Annie, I'd much rather have ham and eggs. No offense to my beloved. I mean, after all, I can cook, can I, honey? Sure I can. Yeah, right. But you don't want to come to my table if it's my cooking. But I do Wheaties pretty well. And the thing that transforms Wheaties, I mean, it's a transformation. It's an anointing. When you put that, you drizzle that honey, and by the way, anointed, Mashua, Christ in the Greek, Christos, the Messiah, means the anointed one. And that anointing oil was like honey. Came out just with the same texture as honey. And when I watch that golden honey come with those boring flakes, there's a transformation, Don. And it's life, and I love it, and it adds a zest. And God bless Paul Moorhead. Try to just put this in your thinking cap. They had 3,500 beehives. Let me say that one more time. 3,500 beehives. They would harvest, Dick, 9 tons of honey 3 times a season. And along with that, Paul had learned a craft from his father. They were like geneticists. Rick was telling me this. Paul, Dad could take a pen, sort of a needle, he would hammer that, and he would make it flat so that it became like a surgeon's instrument. Paul Moorhead had learned the craft from his father, how to extract honey egg, queen eggs, and then he would add, six or seven worker bees with that. And once it was confirmed that it was a, Larry, I don't know whether you've ever done this, buddy, but once he would confirm that that was a viable honeybee, then they would ship that little parcel, they would ship those all over the United States of America. Just incredible. But Rick went on to tell me about the day he saw Dad doing his craft when he was covered, I don't want to scare my kids, but he was covered with bees that on this occasion did sting him. And I don't mean one. They said Dad's hand and forearm covered with the bee stings. And I said, well, what did he do? And they said, oh, he didn't have to do anything, Greg. You see, he became immune to bee stings. Immune. Now, God, in his earthly journey, had engineered him in such a way that this servant who worked with the honey, with the honeybee and the hive, God engineered him to be a worker that became immune to bee sting. But you know what? The greater work that God did for Paul, the greater work for us, is that in Christ, we are now immune to the sting of death itself. And thus the scripture, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law, but praise be to God who gives us a victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Immune to the sting of sin, immune to the sting of death, but at a cost. In the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus received the bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you." Likewise, after supper, he took the cup. And again, after he had given thanks for the cup of passion, the cup of suffering, he gave it to the disciples, saying, "Drink all of this, for this is my blood of a new covenant shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The form of communion this morning is known as intention. We will have two stations here. Dave and I will have a station here with the cup and with the bread. And then also Steve and Tana. And thank you, Steve and Tana. They're going to serve over here. When you come forward, and let me say this right now to our guests, because I know what it is to be a guest. And I'm a nervous type. I don't know about you, but I get nervous. We want you to relax. Great hospitality here. We've got the best ushers in the country. They're going to get you down here, and then they'll get you back to your pew. But when you come to the various stations, take the bread, representing the body of Jesus, dip it into the cup, representing the blood of the Savior, and then take and eat. You don't have to be United Methodist. We embrace the open table fellowship. All on the planet Earth are our children of the Creator God. And the Creator God came into his world so that all will come to know his love in Jesus Christ. Just come, receive the communion, the greatest love that creation has ever known. Steve, Tony, and Dave, I'll have you come forward. And Diane, we want to make sure, Diane Clemens, we want to make sure we serve you. Diane, the body of Christ. Diane, the blood of Christ. Amen. Thank you, sister. once again, in the words of our mentor, the founding dean of Methodist Theological School in Ohio, Dr. Van Bogart Dunn, everything we do in response to the one who has first loved us. Let us respond with our offerings and our tithes to serve the Christ. Join together for this offering. I just want to thank Diane Clemens for that incredible offertory. That was was. We're so blessed, Linda, to be in the church. We have two powerful pipe organists, but that was just what this soul needed. Thank you, sister. Let us pray. Bless these gifts, O God, as a sacrifice of praise and gratitude. Through our generosity, feed others with the finest wheat and your sweetest honey. Through our gifts, may others find hope, even in the rocky terrain of life and the barren desert of despair. May our lives be a sign of grace to a world in need of your love. Amen. Steve. Before we lift up the pickle jar and of course, introduce the closing hymn, I do want, you know, we're family here. We are a family. And I am so privileged to have been included in this church family. And as a family, you know, we have love for each other. We have sensitivity for each other. So I do want to share with you, certainly, as many of you are beginning to hear, that Glenn Garris has been admitted to the hospice center there in Van Wert. And what I want to say, therefore, as a family, we're family, today is a very special birthday for one of the grandchildren. So what I'm saying is what we want to try to do is we want to try to give them that private time today so that they can, you know, to be with them for the, so that they can have their time with that birthday. And as family, we understand that, don't we? We understand that. But certainly continue to lift him up in prayer. Now then, the closing hymn, of course, Victory in Jesus. And the pickle jar, if you're a guest here today, we have an offering here the first Sunday of the month. This is for local needs. If you have a change offering, if you want to put that as a love offering, during the singing of the closing hymn, you have an opportunity to come forward and put this in here, for this will go to meet the needs of those who are struggling right here in our home community. Closing hymn, 370, Victory in Jesus.
Thank you.
always a blessing. But also today it gave me a reminder, Tina Pauling, bless your sweetheart. I was to lift up the announcement, she's looking for a high school teacher here for our church. So sorry about that, I'm remiss, Tina. But thank you, Lord, for reminding me. We need our high school teachers. See, Tina, if you're interested in helping and serving in that capacity. Now may the love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the communion, the fellowship with the Holy Spirit, rest, abide with us all, now and forever. Amen.